Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Great Divide. I'm your host, Alan Jacoby. Listen, remember to support the show. Go to the website. You can get all the episodes and social media, thegreatdivide1776.com. Like, share, comment, review, subscribe. Go right to the, you get everything right from the website, thegreatdivide1776.com. All right, so I wanted to talk today about, police officers and their role in communities, which to me is very, very important. Growing up, I was always taught by family and elders around in the community that the police are there to help us, to protect us. They're our friends. You could go as far as even say that cliche term that they are your community's heroes. The same with firefighters. But the police have a really, really rough job. They are responding to calls, 911 calls for help. And it could be anything from, it could be somebody sick, maybe there's no crime involved, to somebody got beat up, a fight, an argument between a husband and wife, or worse, a murder, a stabbing, a shooting, a rape. And these are human beings that put on a uniform and leave their families every day in the hopes to come home at the end of their shift, that are going out there enforcing laws, fighting crime, and acting as if they're psychologists because they have to deal with people at their worst. Whether it's, again, a domestic problem where they have to talk to a husband and talk to a wife or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or aggravated people at an accident scene. Emotions are always running high. It's a very stressful profession, and they don't get enough credit. And nowadays, in this political climate, it's all about, from the left, defund the police, abolish the police, do away with the police, fuck the police, and other nonsensical things against the police. The police are not our friends. The police are racist. And we all know that that's not true. And I'm not going to spend this episode talking about that. What I wanted to do in this episode is I wanted to speak about police officers, specific police officers as well. Police officers that never made it home to their families when they went to work and tragically were killed in the line of duty. And again, growing up, there was the game, we're going to play cops and robbers. Everybody wanted to be the cop. But we knew, playing with a group of friends, someone had to be the robber, so you had to take turns. But of course, cops were the good guys, robbers were the bad guys. And you don't realize that little as kids, how real that is, and how real bad guys are, and how real and important and dangerous it is to be a police officer, no matter where it is. You put that uniform on, you put that badge on, you get in that car that says police on it. Nowadays, you're a target. Not only by just the criminal element, but everyone with a cell phone, the looky-loos that just want to record everything and post it online, mainstream media, politicians. Police officers have that universal target on their back. Criminals are criminals. They chose to be criminals. I'll tell you my opinion, and I see it as fact in my mind, is that criminals are not victims, nor are they martyrs. They are humans. However, decisions they make and actions they take them criminals. That's a fact. They're adults. and control their own destiny or fate like any of us. We're all in charge. We all have some sort of control of our destiny and fate. Not total control, but for the most part, you have control in the direction that your life is going. And that also includes these criminals' decisions to evade, resist, run, and fight with the police, putting those community heroes' lives in danger. Those heroes being your local police officers. And sometimes that leads to a dead criminal at the hands of police officers. Sometimes that leads to a dead police officer at the hands of a criminal. And either way you look at it, it's a needless loss of life. And it's always tragic regardless. We can all agree on that. Nobody wants to see anybody killed or die. Human. Take the criminal and police officer out of it. Nobody wants to see anybody get killed. Nobody wants to see anybody die. Unfortunately, recently the narrative that we know is pushed by the mainstream media, politicians, corporations now, Hollywood, sports morons, it's all hate the police. Idolize criminals. And that's horrible to say, but idolize criminals and divide our country on this nonsensical notion that police in America is racist. And just, I have to say enough already, because it's complete bullshit. It's all bullshit. There is absolutely zero evidence that police are hunting people of color to kill them in the streets. None. And if you have that evidence, you want to prove me wrong that police in America are systemically racist and they're out there hunting and killing people of color in the streets, show me the evidence and prove me wrong. I challenge anybody. I'm not going to sit here also and waste time talking about these dead criminals. They made their decisions. I am not going to say their names. I care as much about their names as much as Black Lives Matter and Democrats care about police officers. They want to abolish and defund the police. And make no mistake, and I truly believe this, because BLM is a domestic terrorist organization. They revel over police officer deaths. You see it. If a police officer dies in the line of duty, go to the local newspaper in your town or the larger newspapers or even the mainstream media, like the social media, Facebook pages of all these mainstream media outlets, and you'll see so-and-so, police officer so-and-so, from so-and-so police department tragically lost their life, whatever. There's somewhere in the comments you'll see in the thread that somebody said, this is great because a good cop is a dead cop. It's in everyone. Somebody always does it. And then it starts a whole big thread war. I've been sent to Facebook jail so many times for defending police officers on threads from disgusting thugs who wish death on police more times than I can count. And it's disgusting because I guess Facebook condones that kind of nonsense. But I believe that. I believe that these activists, these rioters, these domestic terrorists, they love when a police officer gets killed. They love it. And that's disgusting. And I'll say this to anyone who might be listening or watching who has a bad taste in their mouth from of the police. 'Cause until you leave your family at home every day to protect everyone else's, don't shit talk police officers to me, ever. I've had people try, and we get into a conversation, and it never ends well. You know, feelings are hurt. My feelings are never hurt, and it is what it is. I will defend law enforcement. I will defend the police in my community who were there to protect us. That I will do. That's how I was raised. That's how most people I grew up with were raised. I grew up with people that they fell into that criminality side. They were always in trouble with the police. And they still, the people that I know who have fallen into that criminality side of life still have respect for law enforcement because they know they have a job to do. I'm really at my wit's end with these poor excuses for lawmakers that they're attacking law enforcement for the sole reason of pandering to cop hating organization and criminals for votes and money, like a lot of left leaning Democrats, progressive Democrats, the AOCs, the Chuck Schumers. The Obamas now, they're out of the White House, but you'll get Michelle Obama to say something about how police in America is racist. But, you know, she went to Princeton and Barack went to Harvard, and they have 24-hour Secret Service protection with guns for the rest of their lives. They've done pretty well in the United States of America, but we'll turn around and say that this country is racist and police are racist. Meanwhile, how many white people put Barack Obama into the White House twice? So give me a break with the pandering nonsense bullshit, because it is. It's for votes. That's what the Democrats do. They'll exploit anybody. And if they have to hate the police for that time being, whether I don't know if some of them really do or not, but it sure seems like they do. And it's for the votes and the donations, because that's what it's about, that power. And again, meanwhile, you know, these dumb idiot, all of them, these moronic lawmakers, they all have some sort of police protection details. And it's just more of that that leftist hypocritical bullshit. That's what it is. Enough about those pieces of garbage. Criminals, lawmakers, all of them. So I was looking up some stats when I wanted to talk about this. And since I looked up the stats, the numbers changed a little bit by a few, unfortunately, because the time I was putting the information to put this show together, more police officers, I think about four or five, maybe even a couple more, have been killed in the line of duty since I was doing all my show notes in preparation for the show. When I did it, I had it at 109 police officers died in the line of duty so far this year. That number has risen already. And not all violently, by the way. Not all of them by the hands of a criminal. And if my numbers are correctly, and this number is a little bit higher now, but it was around 30 of those police officers were killed by either gunfire, being stabbed, assaulted, or run over by a car. Regardless, if my numbers are exact or not, you know, it's too goddamn many. One is too goddamn many. And you see the line of duty police deaths year after year. I feel like they're increasing. But I want to take the time and I want to talk about some of these heroes who tragically lost their lives, because the media doesn't care. Media doesn't care at all. Politicians don't care. I care. You care. If you're a rational thinking individual, then you care about police officers being killed. If you don't care, you're a piece of shit, obviously. You're probably not listening to this anyway. So I want to talk about some of them. I went through and I looked at, I read a lot of the stories of police officers around the United States who were killed this year, and I picked out a few, and I want to share the details, their story, I guess you could say, of how they didn't go home to their families while protecting us. And these are, as I'm reading them, it's hard to hear about every death of a police officer if it's not local to you. But unfortunately, you'll hear when some piece of garbage criminal resists arrest or fights or tries to kill a police officer and then they get killed, then it's national news and everybody knows that criminal's name because people like Nancy Pelosi want to make them into a martyr. And that's why I'm doing this. So I want to start with one. His name was Darian Jarrett. Say his name. Darian Jarrett. You know, like, oh, say their name. Well, say his name. Darian Jarrett. February 4th, 2021, New Mexico police officer, Darian Jarrett. He was a 28-year-old father of three. Father of three. And he was executed on the side of the road by a drug deal with an AR-15 in broad daylight. He was shot during a car stop. And not only was he shot he was shot with the AR-15, but he was then shot. He was shot about five or six times, but he was shot point blank in the back of his head after he was shot multiple times, laying on the side of the road. This subhuman piece of garbage wanted to make sure that he killed Officer Jarrett. In broad daylight, there's video of it. It's everywhere. I'm sure you've seen it somewhere. He pulled the guy over. He's on the passenger side of the vehicle. He saw the firearm, asked him to step out of the vehicle, leave the firearm there. And you see this disturbing dash cam video of them walking back towards the rear of the pickup. And you see, it's like one of those horrible horror movies where you're like, don't go in there. He's in there. He's in that room. Because you see this piece of shit pull out this AR-15. He charges around and he pulls the weapon up over the bed of the truck and he shoots him multiple times and then walks around and finishes him off. 28 years old, Darian Jarrett. Three kids. And he was doing a car stop. He was doing his job. He was enforcing laws. The shooter, he left the scene, and later he was shot. He was shot dead in a gunfight with other police officers. But not before that piece of garbage shot another police officer, but not fatally, thank God. So Darian Jarrett, Officer Darian Jarrett, he was making a routine traffic stop, and he was murdered in cold blood. And you have asshole politicians opening their sewer trap mouth, saying police officers don't need guns on traffic stops. That's the pettiness that they're pandering, because that's what Black Lives Matter says. That's what some of these founders and activists and terrorists say, or mayors of certain cities say it. Well, maybe the police officers don't need guns on traffic stops, but they can get executed on the side of the road, broad daylight. And they're not talked about by these politicians. And they're not talked about by the mainstream media. I believe the driver of that vehicle was a Hispanic drug dealer, the guy who killed Darian Jarrett. Now, had the tables turned broad daylight and there was a gun in the car, and maybe he was Hispanic or Black, or person of color, and Darian Jarrett shot and killed him, I guarantee you everybody would know the piece of shit's name, the drug dealer in the truck then. Everybody would know his name. And the only reason they maybe would know Darian Jarrett's name is if they were rioting in his city demanding that he be prosecuted, arrested. So when someone says police officers don't need guns on traffic stops, it boggles my mind. The dash cam of Darian Jarrett's murder is difficult to watch. They played it over and over on certain news outlets. It's difficult to watch. What I'd like to sit these police hating lawmakers in a room and make them watch the uncensored video of Darian Jarrett's murder over and over and over and over. I'd like to staple their eyelids open to their foreheads so they can't squint and close their eyes while they watch the video of Darian Jarrett's murder. Darian Jarrett, 28 years old, father of two. He was a father of three. His wife, he had two kids and one was on the way. So his wife was pregnant and he was out getting gunned down on the side of the road. But now he's dead. No one wants to talk about him, but the media is plastering the names and photos of dead criminals all over the place, making them out to be like Marvel superheroes. It's disgusting. It's disgraceful. There aren't words to describe what it is. It makes me hot in my chest, and it pisses me off, and it should piss you off. It should piss everyday people off, rational people. It's another police officer. Adam Gibson. Adam Gibson. Say his name. But that seems to be the theme again. So I'll do the same thing. Adam Gibson. Say his name. Adam Gibson. January 18th, 2021. He's a deputy sheriff, Adam Gibson, and his canine partner, Riley. They're from the Sacramento County Sheriff's Department, California. They were shot and killed in a parking lot after they got into a car chase. Deputy Gibson was 31 years old. 31. He was married. He had a nine-month-old baby. Nine-month-old baby. I don't know if it was a boy or a girl. But Deputy Sheriff Gibson's baby will only know he or she had a hero father through stories and photos. It's the only way that nine-month-old baby will remember one even having a father who was a hero police officer. That's the only way. Through stories and photos. And Deputy Sheriff Gibson, he was also a United States Marine veteran. And I guarantee, again, I guarantee you never heard of Deputy Sheriff Adam Gibson, also United States Marine. You never heard of him. I actually never heard of him until I started doing the research on some of these police officer deaths. And I read his story and it stood out. Why is that? Why aren't these people being nationalized? These police officers who were killed in the line of duty being nationalized like these scumbag criminals are. Why is that? It's because the country's narrative is complete bullshit right now. It's not my narrative. I'll tell you that. It's not my narrative. I'll talk about them. I'll get their names out there. I will not say these piece of shit criminals' names. They will not pass my lips. They're being held like as heroes. Again, it's disgusting. My narrative has no room for fentanyl using piece of shit criminals. The crypt keeper of the Capitol, Nancy Pelosi, she can ooh and ah over dead criminals all she wants. All she wants with her minions on the Capitol steps. Oh. Dead criminals' names are not synonymous with justice, you old moronic bag of wind. I'm sure you remember just recently when the crypt keeper herself, Nancy Pelosi, said on the steps of the U.S. Capitol that a certain dead criminal's name was synonymous with justice. Moron Democrats made that criminal into their martyr, and I refuse to say his name. Because you know what? He doesn't matter. He doesn't matter to me. Adam Gibson, Deputy Sheriff Adam Gibson, matters to me. I have another name for you to say. Chad Walker. Say his name. Trooper Chad Walker from the Texas Department of Public Safety. He was 38 years old. 38. He was gunned down before he could even get out of his police car. March 26th this year, 2021. Trooper Chad Walker. He thought he was checking on a disabled motorist on the side of the road. So he's a disabled motorist on the highway, freeway, whatever they call it there. He's going to check to make sure everything's okay. Went to go see if this motorist was okay. And he was shot in the head and stomach before his police car even came to a complete stop. But the coward that killed Trooper Chad Walker, he got off easy because he went into the woods and he killed himself. Because he's a goddamn coward. And Trooper Chad Walker, who was a father, 38 years old, had a wife, a 15-year-old son, twin 7-year-old daughters and a 2-month-old daughter. My question is, where is the damn outrage? Where are the protests? Where is the nationalization of Chad Walker's death as a hero, protecting his community, serving his community? Where's the outrage? There is none. Sorry, Trooper Chad Walker, but no one cares. Apparently, your life does not matter. Trooper Chad Walker's life matters more than any gun-toting criminal terrorizing the streets of America. I can talk about every single one of these hero police officers that made the ultimate sacrifice and lost their lives in the line of duty, serving and protecting their communities. I could talk about them all. But I want to take a moment. I want to talk about a hero police officer that's still with us, wasn't injured, but instead, he did his job. He did his job and he saved the life of a girl who was a millisecond away from getting a very large kitchen knife plunged into her body by another girl. You remember this. Unfortunately, you have to remember this. It was just all over the news. It was happened the same day of the Derek Chauvin verdict. We don't know the name of the girl whose life the police officer saved. Her, we don't know. We call the girl in the pink because on the video she had the pink. We only know this police officer's name because he is being vilified and persecuted by the media, lawmakers, domestic terrorist organizations that burn down cities all over the country. And why? Why is that? The only reason we know his name, we know about this, is because the girl that he shot was a 200-plus pound enraged freight train with a knife and was black. They wanted to make her into this sweet child because she was 16. 200-pound enraged freight train with a knife that almost killed the girl a lot smaller than her. And that's the only reason we know the name of Columbus police officer, Columbus, Ohio police officer, Nicholas Reardon. It's the only reason we know who he is. Because he shot and killed a black girl to save another black girl. He's white. Police officer Nicholas Reardon is white. If the knife wielding girl, okay, if she was white, we wouldn't know about this at all unless you heard it on local news if you lived in Columbus, Ohio. We wouldn't know about the story. But one, a black girl was trying to stab another black girl. A white cop showed up and saw this, and you watched the video, and in a millisecond, he had a time to react. And he shot this 200-pound knife-wielding freight train, and he saved a girl's life. And because he did it on the same day they were reading the verdict for the Derek Chauvin trial, it made national news even more and radically criticized as, you know, white police officers going out there and, you know, going to get another one for the police because, you know, they one of their own got convicted in a trial. Like, this is the narrative. This is the narrative. Officer Nicholas Reardon is a hero. He is a hero. White police officer saved the life of a black girl in a split second. If Officer Reardon arrived 5 seconds later, or less, if you look at the video, there would have been a girl with a giant kitchen knife in her gut, or worse, probably dead, and a murderer, most likely still alive. Officer Reardon, he's a police officer and he's a military veteran. And actually, I believe he's still active duty or reserve. Not 100% sure. They said he was a sharpshooter. Well, he was a good shot and he saved the girl's life. Again, he's a hero. And I hope that he's not vilified by his department and the city of Columbus because of the pressure from the sick woke mob. I say to the sick woke mob is screw them. That police officer is a hero. It's a shame it had to happen. It's a shame that a girl had to lose her life. I don't care the color. But that girl should, whatever the situation was before that happened, that girl should have made a better decision and not tried to lunge a giant kitchen knife into the gut of a smaller girl. From what it looks like, in an attempt to kill that girl. And then it goes back to vilifying police and sports figures. You have this idiot, NBA. I hate basketball. I hate most sports. LeBron James, you know, he's like a self-proclaimed black activist. He's a piece of garbage. They call him the king. I call him the king racist. He puts out a tweet after this happens in Columbus, Ohio. A tweet of a picture of Officer Reardon. And it says, "You're next, hashtag accountability." And then he deleted it pretty quick, but it was too late. It was out there. Like, LeBron James has like a 28 million followers on social media. Unfortunately, he's looked up to by a bunch of idiots. I think looking up to sports figures is so moronic. It's ridiculous. But he puts out this tweet. It was almost like a threat, like, "You're next." What does that mean, "You're next"? And then he defended it, and he went back and forth with his ridiculous rhetoric. And what happened? Nothing happened to LeBron James. Matter of fact, LeBron James is getting a show on Disney, by the way. You know, for his heroism, I guess. I don't know. He's not a hero. He's a piece of shit. Now, I'm not going to sit back and keep quiet about it. Obviously, if you've listened to me, you know I'm going to speak my mind. I have my opinions, and I'm not going to apologize for who I am. I had to tell people on my social media, you know, if you're a family, friends, a friend, an acquaintance, I will always. Anybody, I will always look past your politics, beliefs, religion, and race to see the person. I will always look past that. And I expect the same from anybody. And unfortunately, it doesn't happen. And that's not my problem. That's the other person's problem. And I tell this to everybody, never apologize for who you are. And it's not a racist statement when somebody tries to vilify me because of the color of my skin because I'm white. Yeah, I didn't put anybody in chains. I had nothing to do with slavery. I'm not going to apologize for being white. So get over yourself. That's it. Thanks. Yeah, I'm not going to sit back and keep quiet because I can't be canceled. I can't be intimidated. They can call me whatever they want. I don't care. Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Al Sharpton, all these other police-hating parasites can go to hell. That's it. LeBron James, piece of garbage. Al Sharpton, piece of garbage. All of them. They're not activists. They're panderers. They want the camera. They want the spotlight. Al Sharpton gives eulogies at criminals' funerals. He doesn't even know the person. He makes it into a sermon about you know, screw the police and Congress and this and that, the other thing. He's another guy. Gets on his private jet to go see a poor black family whose criminal son got killed. Give me a break. Pandering piece of garbage. So this last hero police officer I want to talk about that didn't make it home to his family. It's actually local to me in New York. And the circumstances around his death really enrage me. And this one I'm gonna put the criminal piece of shit on blast. But it really makes me sick to my stomach. So he's a New York City Police Highway Patrol officer, Anastasio Sakos, Greek. Say his name, Anastasio Sakos. So highway patrolman Sakos, he was killed just recently, April 27th, 2021, when this piece of garbage, her name is Jessica Bavais. I don't know if I'm even saying it right. I don't care. Piece of shit. She had a suspended license, and she had a blood alcohol level twice the legal limit. She pounded vodka like a fish while recording this half-assed podcast, or it was a Facebook Live, whatever it was. It was for like an hour and 50 minutes. I watched it. It was horrible, horrible, horrible to watch. She dropped off her kid, her young kid, to go into Brooklyn, wherever she was, to go make this recording and drink like a fish all night. And she records this podcast about hating the police. She literally said, clear as day, this subhuman piece of garbage, fuck the police. She had that song playing in the background, fuck the police. Then the whole video is about the, you know, police are bad, the whole thing. And she gets in her car completely hammered. She drives. And she hits and kills police officer Sakos. She hit him so hard, she knocked his boots off and threw him, they said, like 30, 40 feet in the air and 100 feet down the road. That's how hard she hit Officer Sakos. He had no chance to react. He was actually doing traffic control at another drunk driving scene where someone actually was killed. And he was there working that scene only to be killed himself. And to make it worse, this cop-hating garbage pail, she leaves the scene. Drunk out of a mind, she leaves the scene. She claims she didn't know she hit him. She didn't know what she hit. You look at the picture of her car that they released, and her car looks like she hit a goddamn buffalo, or that somebody dropped a piano on the hood of her car. It looks like her car is totaled from hitting Officer Sakos. I don't know how fast she was going. There were witnesses. One witness was a truck driver who actually saw it happen. He blocked the scene. When his boots came off, unfortunately, it's horrible. She took one of his legs right off. Apparently, it was in his boot, and the truck driver had to move his truck to the side of the road so cars wouldn't run over his severed leg. Horrible. Horrible. And yeah, I listened to that disgusting animal's poor excuse of a podcast, or whatever you want to call it, and it's difficult to listen to. She preached police hatred. And then she went and killed one, you know. And what's sad is, you know, she's young. She's young, and she'll be out of jail probably by the time she's 40. She's not going to get life in prison because the criminal justice system it sucks when it comes to certain things. It's sad. So it's always sad when you hear police officers getting killed, especially when they're local. On streets that you know. And he had, you know, Officer Sakos had a family. He had a loving family. Went to work like every other day, and his life was snuffed out by some police hating piece of shit. Police officer Sakos, he left behind. He had a 6-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old son. 6 and 3. Their dad was their hero. Is their hero. And when the kids just, you have to make sure that those kids always remember their father. And the New York City Police Department will make sure of that. That they're most, those kids are gonna grow up knowing that their father was great. 6-3. All the police officers I mentioned, they were all young, and they all had young families, either kids on the way or small kids. And it makes you think. And again, media didn't really make it too big of a deal of it. They ran the story, yeah, okay. But what's really a kick in the ass is the day Officer Sakos was being transported to the funeral home, they had a police procession. This was before the funeral. This is when he was taken from the, the medical examiner's office to the funeral home where they were going to have his funeral. So they had a police procession. They had hundreds of police officers standing attention, lining the streets by the funeral home. They were awaiting Officer Sakos' arrival. And this is New York City. And the Senate Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer, is New York Senator. He lives in Brooklyn. Yeah, not a word out of him about this officer's death. Nothing. Lifelong, lives in the city. He's the Senate Majority Leader. Unfortunately, Chuck Schumer, Senator Schumer, is a big deal. He's a big piece of shit. And do you know where New York's pandering Democrat Senator Chuck Schumer was that day? He was in Washington, D.C. at the same day and time that they were bringing Officer Sakos to the funeral home. He made no mention about this officer's death in his district. And he was in Washington. There was social media posts. He was very proud of himself. He was in Washington meeting with the families of criminals who were shot by police because they chose to be criminals and fight with the police, or worse. Chuck Schumer was in a room in Washington, in D.C., in the U.S. Capitol, with families of criminals who were killed by police, pandering to them at the same time they were doing arrangements for police officer Sakos. I'm not saying Chuck Schumer had to be there. I don't even think he was at the funeral because they had just had his funeral a few days prior to today. But he didn't even make mention. But he's big with the hashtag Asian hate and the hashtag, you know, everything else, and making criminals into heroes. And it's disgusting. It's hurtful. It's really disappointing. It's really sick. But that's the left's agenda. Screw the police and pander to the criminals and Black Lives Matter for votes and do nothing for them anyway. Because that's what they do, that they don't do anything for these people. They just pander to them and promise them and say, yeah, police are bad. They shot another criminal. Let's make that criminal into a superhero. I'm sure someone will draw a comic book, maybe make them into a Marvel character. And yeah, the world will be great again. Fuck the police. Chuck Schumer is a waste of oxygen. Nancy Pelosi is a waste of oxygen. Again, with the defunding and abolishing police agenda. Let's fund the police. Maybe the police need more training. That's where the money comes from. I'm sure the police officers would love to have more training too. I'm not going to get into all of that nonsense now. All these wastes of oxygen. LeBron James, big NBA star, hates police, waste of oxygen. Like, again, he's the king racist. And he loves to show his racism and hatred towards police with his tweets and in his video message to his fans. All I could say is, if you're a LeBron fan, you are a waste of oxygen. That's a fact. Police officers are humans who put their lives on the line for us. Again, police officers are not leaving their families to do harm to anyone. That's not their intention. They want to make it home to their families. Like these four police officers I just spoke about, they didn't make it home to their families. And there are sick people out there that are happy about that. And that's the problem with humanity. They have a family to get home to, like anyone else. And they're humans like anyone else. You know, I have a lot of friends that are police officers, a lot, everywhere from just regular patrol officers to like sergeants and any police chiefs and detectives and SWAT teams and deputy sheriffs, and even for all over the country. And I think when I hear a story on, you know, a police officer getting killed, I always think of all of them. I've literally all their names and their faces run through my head. And I just think about them, not as a police officer, but as a person, because they all, for the most part, most of them have families. And I think about that. And then I the ones that do have families, and I know their families, and I think about, you know, that their families' faces are in my head. It's concerning in the climate we live in. You know, I can't respect the police more or enough. And you should too. You should have the utmost respect for the police. The police, and like any other organization, there's some bad apples, but the bad apples will never outnumber the great apples, the heroes. That's a fact. So I want you to remember their names. If you're listening to this, just say their names. You have New Mexico State Police Officer Darian Jarrett, Sacramento County Deputy Sheriff Adam Gibson. You have Texas State Trooper Chad Walker and New York City Police Officer Anastasio Sakos. Those were the four heroes that I chose to speak about. And just remember to keep just if a police officer they have a job to do, and they need the community's help a lot of times to do that job, cooperation, the support, and their lives matter. Their lives matter. And police officers that are still with us, like I spoke about, Columbus, Ohio Police Officer Nicholas Reardon, he is a hero. And I wish, I can only hope for the best for him, and that he recovers mentally for what he had to do. Because police officers, just if they have to shoot somebody, God forbid, and it's a fatal shooting that they took somebody's life. You think a police officer just wakes up the next day and says, I shot someone yesterday, it's off to work? No. PTSD, it's traumatizing. But a lot of people don't think about that because they don't care. And they should care. I tell everybody, people say, you know, well, what could we do to support the police? Well, you could do anything to support the police. You could be in a deli, your local deli or coffee shop, and you see police officers in there. Buy them coffee. A lot of times they won't accept it. They'll try not to. I do it. I insist. I always make the police officers laugh. I says, no. And I said, listen to me. Just zip it. I'm buying you coffee, or it's going to end up, you're going to lock me up because I'm going to forcefully buy you coffee. They laugh. They're not looking for that, but it's just something I feel. And I do it when I see someone in military uniform. If I'm in a diner, wherever I am, I'll eat breakfast in a diner and I'll see two military members of the military there in uniform, or two police officers might be sitting in the diner. I flag down whoever in the diner and I said, listen, make sure you give me that bill. I do it. I'm not saying you have to go and buy every police officer out there a cup of coffee and breakfast, but it's a kind gesture to show that you support your local police. So if you have the means and you want to do something noble, you could find your local police officer's memorial fund and make a donation. They're all over the place. Make sure it's a legit organization. Take the time to thank a police officer in your community, the local guy who patrols your streets. Maybe he goes past your house, you throw him a wave, you say hello. How are you? It's 90 degrees. You want a bottle of water? They're under fire every day by activists, Hollywood, and media, and the government. And it's, if we lose our police by defunding or worse, because there are people actively working on that. There are people in Congress actively wanting to work on that. If we lose our police, we lose society, people. We lose society. Real quick side note, talking about to making donations, there's a big organization called Tunnel to Towers, based in the city, off of the events on September 11th. And this organization, through donations, it's a very good organization to donate to. I donate to it, Tunnel to Towers. I'll put their information in the show notes. You want to make a donation? What they do is the police officers, firefighters, members of the military, when they're killed in the line of duty, this organization steps up. They have a family with kids. They pay off their mortgage. They have a kid in college. They may pay the college tuition. Literally, like Officer Sakos, the Tunnel of Towers stepped right in. Wife and the kids and the two kids paying off the mortgage. She'll never have to worry about a mortgage payment. It's not about the money. It's not about the convenience, because that'll never be enough for what that family lost, or what anybody's family lost. It'll never be enough. It just helps with some burdens. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there. This episode, when I was putting it together, it really hit home because of one, my respect for the police, my love for law enforcement, and all my friends that are in law enforcement. And I think about them more than usual because of the stuff that's going on. And, just police officers' lives matter. And remember that. And you, when you hear about a police officer that got killed, take the time to read the story. Take the time to look into it. How many kids did that police officer not have that he didn't make it home to? So that's it, people. Listen, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and most of all, God bless America. I'll talk to you next time. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.